of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Julie Eldridge from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'll be reading to you from the I'll be reading to you from the Governor Morehead School Alumni Connection. This will be issue 2 for the summer of 2024. First, from the President's Corner, by Dr. Ricky Scott. As President of our association, I wish to express to you that I hope that all of you are enjoying the summer weather and that you are excited about our upcoming convention / reunion the weekend of August 9th, 2024, where we will not only time for fun and fellowship with old and new friends, but also where we will conduct association business and receive informative presentations that will enhance our daily lives as we move forward individually and organizationally. In addition to working with the convention committee to plan our annual convention, I also wish to report that my work on the Board of Trustees of the GMS continues and that we are smoothly transitioning to the governance of the school effective July 1st, 2024. For example, policies and procedures have been promulgated by the Board of Trustees to conduct that administration. Next, I report to you the ongoing efforts of our association to have accessible pedestrian street crossings, which has been most productive in Raleigh, where concrete results are occurring. I hope that we can expand this effort in other cities. Further, I encourage you to continue to work to advance the work of our association through your membership and service on committees. For those of you who may not be serving on a committee, I strongly encourage you to review the description of the work of each committee and then join one that fits your unique skills and abilities. Likewise, I encourage you to consider serving on the association's board. For this year, elections will be held for vice president, secretary, and 2 board positions. Lastly, on a personal note, I report to you that I accepted a position with NC Division of Services for the Blind as a Community Work Incentives Counselor, which is responsible for promoting employment and financial independence of its consumers through SSA's Work Incentives Planning and Assistance Project. And now for the committee reports. Convention / reunion report by Donna Permar, chairperson. Update on our GMSAA reunion, please read. Hello, GMS alumni and friends. This is a friendly reminder that the deadline for reunion registration, hotel reservations, and t-shirt orders is July 19th. That date is less than 6 weeks away. Please read below for additional information about some of the reunion activities, including 2 exciting convention fundraisers, as well as registration and hotel reservation information. Date, Friday, August 9th through Sunday, August 11th of 2024. Location, Midtown Doubletree Hotel at 2805 Highwoods Boulevard in Raleigh, North Carolina, 27614. Phone 919-872-3500. Room rate $135 per night for a standard king or 2 queen room types plus tax. The room rate will include a hot breakfast buffet in the hotel restaurant. If you choose to order from the restaurant menu, the cost of your breakfast will be an additional charge. Each room has a coffee maker, refrigerator, and there is free Wi-Fi in the guest rooms as well as in the public areas. Reservations. You should call the hotel directly at 919-872-3500 and request a room in the GMSAA Annual Convention Room block or with the group code GMA. You can also call Hilton directly at 1-855-672-1138 and ask for a room with the GMSAA Annual Convention or with the group code GMA. There is a limited number of available rooms in our room block for anyone wishing to arrive on Thursday, August 8th. All reunion activities and meals will be held in the hotel. Registration. The registration fee for GMSAA annual members will be $60. The registration fee for lifetime GMSAA members is $50. Registration fee for guests is $90. Registration fee will cover dinner on Friday evening, a boxed lunch for Saturday, and a banquet dinner on Saturday evening. The registration fee for Friday only will be $30. For Saturday lunch, it's $30. And for Saturday evening dinner, only $30. Registration fee for Saturday lunch and dinner will be $60. There will be an additional $10 fee for anyone who registers past the July 19th deadline. There will be no refunds of registration fees in the event of a cancellation. If possible, please register online via our website at www.gmsaai.org and follow the PayPal instructions. The registration form on the GMSAA website is very accessible, and paying via PayPal is very secure. You do not need a PayPal account to make your payment. When on the PayPal section, just arrow down to the credit debit card option. If you would like assistance with online registration, please send an email to dcpermar58@gmail.com with your phone number and a time when you are available to register via our website. Other convention committee members are also available to assist you with online registration. When you arrive at the hotel and your registration is confirmed, you will be given a name tag. This name tag will be your meal ticket. Anyone without a name tag will not be served a meal. Once again, this year you can order T-shirts. The cost is only $22 for any size. This T-shirt has the logo of the Greyhound and the Charger running into the sunset. It also has on the back, "We walk by faith, not by sight," as well as the Braille alphabet in puffed print. The T-shirt is gray, and the logos have blue and gold on them. If you send your size, number of shirts you want, and the money in to us by July 19th, we will have your T-shirt at the convention reunion on August 9th. If you are not attending the convention reunion, we will mail it to you for $2 extra. To order your T-shirts, please contact Lawrence Carter at 919-856-0034. We will hold two convention fundraisers. The first one will provide attendees and members the opportunity to support GMSAA with a monetary donation based on your age. For example, if you are 30 years old, then you would donate $30. You can make this donation via PayPal on our website prior to convention or, of course, at the meet and greet activity at the convention. The second fundraiser is our indoor yard sale. For those who are attending, please bring items that are in good condition to donate to our yard sale. We plan to invite people from outside our organization to the yard sale, so please invite your neighbors, friends, and family to this fundraiser where they will find a wide variety of low-cost items. Very important, the hotel does not have an ATM, so you should plan to bring cash for your donations as well as yard sale purchases. And here's a tentative schedule of events. All times and events are subject to change if necessary. On Friday, August 9th, from 1 to 4:30 p.m., registration and name tag distribution. From 3 to 4:30 p.m., line dance class. From 6 to 7:30 p.m., dinner followed by meet and greet. And from 8:30 to 10:30, fun games. Left, right and center, bingo, and GMS trivia. Darts will be the alternative activity. On Saturday, August 10th, 9 to 11 a.m., announcements, presentations, and business meeting. We will be holding elections for officers in our organization. 12 o'clock noon will be lunch. 1:30 to 4:30 p.m., the indoor yard sale and vendors. Vendors will be selling handcrafted creations as well as other unique items. 6:30 to 8:30 p.m., the banquet. 9 to 10:30 p.m., dance. Don Ball will be our DJ. The alternate activity will be a quiet place, which will allow people to play more games or just sit and socialize with one another. Sunday, August 11th, from 9 to 10 a.m., worship hour. This will be our final activity. Say goodbye to your friends, new and old, and check out from the hotel. So don't delay. Complete your registration and room reservation today. Thank you in advance for your attendance and participation in the GMSAA reunion. Sincerely, the Convention Committee, Donna Permar, Lawrence Carter, Margaret Carter, Susan Patterson, and Ricky Scott. Reunion activity announcement and request. The Reunion Committee would like to have a line dance class on the afternoon of August 9th, beginning at 3 p.m. We are looking for members of our group who already know how to do a line dance or two to volunteer and help teach our other members that wish to learn these skills. We believe that doing it this way will help make it more fun and efficient than just having one teacher who knows nothing about working with blind and visually impaired people try to do it. If you are interested in helping out with this, please let Margaret Carter know by contacting her at 919-856-0034. And here's the Education Committee report by Dr. Ricky Scott. As chairman of the Education Committee, as part of our mission, we seek to educate our members and friends on issues that impact their lives in areas of health, voting rights, and legal rights and advocacy. To that end, at this year's convention, several topics will be addressed by our presenters. These topics include the following. Non-24 by Vanda Pharma's representative. The IL Philosophy and Systems Change by a representative from NC Statewide Independent Living Council. Legal Rights and Protection by a representative from the Client Assistance Program, and Voting Accessibility for the Blind and Visually Impaired by a representative from NC State Board of Elections. Feel free to call me at 919-673-8300 or email at rickyscott09@gmail.com with any questions. The Communications Committee Report by Dr. Ricky Scott. Currently, I serve as chairman of our Communications Committee with the primary responsibility of producing our quarterly newsletter. To that end, I report that the newsletter has been provided primarily through email. Also, NC Reading Service has provided a podcast of our newsletter. I am happy to announce that the audio podcast of our alumni connection is now available on our website at www.gmsai.com. Let me start that again, please. www.gmsaai.org and on NFB Newsline. To access the newsletter through NFB Newsline, you must be a member. To register for NFB Newsline, you must call the North Carolina Accessible Books and Library Services at 919-733-4376 to get registered for NFB Newsline. Otherwise, you can call Newsline at 888-882-1629. The Alumni Connection is under the North Carolina Channel under Option 2. Then select Option 3. Let me know if you have any questions. Call 919-673-8300 or email at rickyscott09@gmail.com. Resource development, May of 2024. Hello, everyone. This is a note from your Resource and Development Committee. We want to remind everyone about our main fundraiser for 2024. Remember that on August 9th, we will have a meet and greet, and everyone is asked to donate to GMSAAI an amount that represents your age. You may bring a check, money order, or cash to the event. If you prefer, you may send your money in early by paying through PayPal on the website or to P.O. Box 61434, Raleigh, North Carolina, 27661. We would like to welcome the newest member to our committee, Mr. George Littlejohn. George is very interested in working behind the scenes to collect donations for GMSAAI. If any of you know someone or an organization that is interested in donating to us, please encourage them to do so. Thank you in advance for all of your hard work. Association Community Action. As part of the association's work, we monitor community actions that impact the lives of persons who are blind or visually impaired. For example, we have met with transit staff in the city of Raleigh on accessible pedestrian street crossings. Likewise, we monitor issues related to paratransportation. To that specific issue, we have closely monitored the ongoing debate in the city of Raleigh related to the return to bus fare. To provide input on this issue, you will find the following letter sent to Raleigh City Council stating the association's position and recommendations for consideration. It follows. Mayor Baldwin and Council Members. Introduction. Governor Morehead School Alumni Association is a local advocacy nonprofit organization that promotes the full integration of persons who are blind or visually impaired into community life through accessible transportation, education, and employment. Under the Americans with Disabilities Act of 1990, the City of Raleigh provides ADA paratransportation to persons with disabilities. With the advent of the pandemic, since March of 2020, the City of Raleigh suspended fares for both fixed route bus service and ADA paratransportation. Go Raleigh Access. Fixed route bus service and ADA paratransportation fare reinstatement. The purpose of this letter is to address the recommendation by RTA to reinstate both fixed route and paratransit fares. As Council engages in its budgetary deliberation process for the next fiscal year, it is imperative that Council is aware of the fact that with the installation of the new software, EcoLane, that the ADA paratransportation cost has dropped dramatically. For example, for the current fiscal year, the approved ADA paratransportation budget approximated $12 million. However, between July 2023 and December 2023, approximately $4.5 million in data show that for the month of January of 2024, ADA paratransportation expense was approximately $480,000. If that holds, then, the total cost for ADA paratransportation for this current fiscal year will approximate $7.5 million instead of the approved $12 million, resulting in a $4.5 million savings. GMSAA calls upon Council to direct transit staff to conduct research to determine the economic impact with the maintenance of fare-free fixed route and ADA paratransportation service. Conversely, the economic impact to the economy and fare reinstatement will impact low-income, working-class people and persons with disabilities who use ADA paratransportation. In addition, GMSAA also calls upon Council to direct RTA staff to research what other cities that provide free fare, such as Chapel Hill, Marion, and Kansas City, to determine what processes that they have implemented to direct RTA, what processes that they have implemented to address operator concerns related to safety. Further, GMSAA calls upon Council to direct RTA to research, if not already done, federal recovery dollars for dialysis transportation under Medicare, which is reimbursable at a rate of 90% per dialysis trip. Recommendations. 1. GMSAA recommends the Council directs staff to engage in research on the aforementioned areas, meanwhile extending fare suspensions for another year. 2. GMSAA recommends that council does not approve the recommendation to increase the ADA paratransportation fare to $3 per trip. The ADA provides for flexibility in determining per-trip cost in that it stipulates that the per-trip fare is to be, quote, no more than twice the fixed route fare, unquote. If reinstatement occurs, then the per-trip ADA paratransportation should be reduced to $1. 3. GMSAA recommends the development of a low-income program for Go Raleigh access, such as a 50% discount per trip. Respectfully submitted, Dr. Ricky Scott, President. GMS Report by Mr. Melvin Diggs, Director. The Governor Morehead School, or GMS, held a successful grand opening event for the Outside Learning Center, or OLC. The Outdoor Learning Center, sorry, it says outside in one place and outdoor in the other. I apologize, I don't know which one is correct. Here I go again, though. The Outdoor Learning Center was a collaboration with Freedom by Design, an architectural program taught at North Carolina State University, McClure and Associates, and Osterland Architects, PLLC. The lovely Deborah Morgan of WRAL hosted our event with speakers from the Governor Morehead Foundation, the Dean of the College of Design from North Carolina State University. The Governor Morehead School would like to thank our colleagues from Lucas Concrete, who donated the sensory wall in memory of Nicholas Nikki Whitney Lentz. Nearly 100 community members and friends attended the gathering despite the inclement weather. Guests at the event included city council members, a state house representative, representatives from the incoming GMS Board of Trustees, Wake County Public Schools superintendent, local Lions Club's members, and a host of community friends and neighbors. Students are enjoying the new resource to our campus on a daily basis. Governor Morehead is looking forward to partnering with our community partners in the near future to bring additional resources to the campus areas for the benefit of our amazing students. GMS will hold its annual graduation ceremony on May 31st, 2024, at 10 a.m. in the morning in the auditorium. The public is invited to attend. Advocacy by NC Council of the Blind. Save the date, White Cane Day 2024, October 15th, 2024. The Advocacy and Legislative Affairs Committee of the North Carolina Council of the Blind invites you to a celebration of the 60th White Cane Day in Raleigh. The white cane is a tool and a symbol. It represents mobility and independence for people who are blind or low vision. It is a tool to make us more visible in the right of way, and the event will be designed to make us more visible in the halls of state government. We expect Governor Cooper to present a proclamation in the morning and to hold an advocacy committee, a meeting in the state legislature in the afternoon. During this day of action, we will meet with public officials and the media to talk about the importance of accessibility for all in public spaces. Members of NCCB will travel to the state capitol from their homes across the state to participate. The NCCB Advocacy and Legislative Affairs Committee has been recently reconstituted, and this is the first action in our campaign to put people who are blind or low vision in direct contact with state officials and elected leaders. Active participation in the political process is essential in securing resources and laws that benefit people with disabilities. Showing up for this event is a way of making a clear statement that blind and low vision issues are important. Plans are still in the works. Expect regular updates. If you have any ideas, questions, or resources to offer, please contact William Smith at gwmsmith3808@gmail.com or call 301-646-9109. Elective Leadership from Kenneth Seaman, Sr. Insight for the Journey. Boundaries create an environment for respectful communication. How to set and maintain healthy boundaries as a leader. A leader is anyone who takes responsibility for developing the potential in people and processes. For both leaders and colleagues and employees, the workplace, physical and virtual, is rife with emotional complexities, making it essential for all stakeholders to learn key communication and interpersonal skills. Arguably, one of the most important skills in any relationship is the ability to create and maintain healthy boundaries. Without boundaries, misunderstandings and resentments can go unchecked. That said, this is a new and murky area for many of us to explore. To begin with, we need to define boundaries and why they are so important. One simple definition is that boundaries, in relationship terms, are about naming and making clear to others what's okay and what's not okay and why. Failure to set boundaries can quickly lead to resentment, frustration, and sometimes deep hurt. With this in mind, why are we reluctant to set boundaries, and why does it feel so hard? Setting boundaries is vulnerable and brave work. For most of us, asking for what you want and don't want can feel risky. Plus, holding others to account for their behaviors is equally gutsy and daunting. Notably, when people are asked why they hesitate to set boundaries, the number one answer that emerged from research conducted by the Brené Brown Education and Research Group was, "I don't want to make people angry, disappoint others, or make them stop liking me." The number two reason, related to the first, was the following, "I don't know how to set boundaries without sounding selfish or unlikable." Yet when people are asked to describe or explain the consequences of not setting boundaries, the overwhelming response is resentment, followed by anger, followed by frustration. And the responses sometimes go so far as to include deep emotional and psychological pain. These emotions eat away at our individual and collective confidence and trust. They lead to people talking behind each other's backs, to blame, and to people not feeling seen and heard. Now, these are all behaviors known to erode healthy cultures and to break down productive working relationships and even businesses. Understanding the leader's role. If a leader is anyone who takes responsibility for developing the potential in people and processes, is courageous enough to do so, then all of us are leaders. So, as leaders, we need to model appropriate behaviors. We often feel like we need to apologize or justify when setting a boundary. We don't. And likewise, as a leader, it's not your team's job to make you feel better or more comfortable setting a boundary. Just be clear, respectful, and open for questions. Most of the time, people will be thankful for the clarity and appreciate the rarity of seeing someone else ask for what they need, rather than be passive-aggressive or annoyed. Respect the boundaries set by others. If we want people to respect our boundaries, we must respect theirs as well. Hearing and saying no is often hard, but if you respect people who are brave enough to say no, they will in turn respect your no. When we accept that others have the right to set boundaries with us, we feel better about, or more able to, set our own. Boundaries are a core component of honesty and trust building, and this starts with oneself. How committed and able are you to identify, voice, and hold your own boundaries? What's the intention sitting behind your boundary? How sure are you it's not a barrier or an excuse? Be honest with yourself. How do you typically respond to others' requests? Do you have a tendency to say yes or no too often? How often do you renegotiate? Watch out for secret, invisible boundaries. Because of the fears described above, people may set secret boundaries. We withdraw, get resentful, or experience annoyance with someone's irresponsibility instead of being honest about how they affect us. Boundaries need to be made visible to others and communicated clearly and kindly. If they're not communicated directly, they will be communicated indirectly through passive aggressiveness or through manipulation. Examples of boundaries. In relationships, both personal and professional, We need to understand that there are several areas where boundaries might need to be articulated, requested, and respected. Five key boundary domains or areas. Emotional. These are boundaries around inappropriate topics, emotional dumping, and dismissing emotions. For example, this isn't a topic I'm okay with or willing to discuss further. Material. Boundaries around possessions, when they can be used, and how they are treated. For example, my car cannot be used on weekends. Material from this workshop can't be copied and reproduced. Time and energy. Boundaries around time, punctuality, when to contact, favors, and free labor. For example, if you're going to be late, please message me in advance of the meeting start time to let me know. Let's agree to take short breaks every 40 to 60 minutes. Mental and spiritual. Freedom to have your own thoughts, beliefs, values, and opinions. For example, I respect that you may disagree with my opinion, and please don't force your own. And then there's physical. Proximity, touch, PDA, or personal displays of affection, unwanted comments regarding appearance, gender, orientation, or sexuality. For example, I don't find comments like that funny or appropriate. Julia Kerr Hinkle is the founder of Luminos. Take Care of Yourself by Robert Parrish. We live in a world where being busy is so valued. It seems like people who attend five meetings, write a book, and go on a 20-mile hike in one day are admired. Of course, I'm being a little facetious, but then again, I'm not too far from the truth. I actually heard about a gentleman who is the chair of five boards. It seems that the user one is the more they are admired. I think that probably means to say it seems that the busier one is, the more they are admired. However, because this kind of thinking and belief is imbalanced, there's a great cost. Areas such as family life, health, and job performance suffer. Because of the above, there is a lot of teaching being done concerning self-care. Even in more world of ministry, self-care is being emphasized. Just what is self-care? There is the obvious answer of taking care of oneself. Beyond this, there is the freedom to know that people can feel free to know that they do not have to say yes to everything. You have probably heard it said that no is the hardest two-letter word in the world. Along with saying no to what one needs to, there is the opportunity to do what one is truly dedicated. Thus, more time could be spent with doing an aspect of volunteer work or attending meetings that are important. The saying, less is more, comes to mind. Along with these comes the option of finding things that one can let go as it relates to their physical and mental well-being. Please understand that I, too, struggle with busyness. I'm a fellow traveler in learning better on how to take care of my mental and physical health. I am learning to be a fuller part of what it is important to me. Much of what I've learned about self-care comes from Brené Brown. A noted social worker and professor, she has written several books in the areas of leadership and self-care. Some of her books include The Gifts of Imperfection, Standing Strong, and The Power of Being Vulnerable. Ms. Brown has a noted podcast on such matters. Brené Brown gives the strong message of whatever you do, you are enough. When it comes to self-care, there are several intentional activities that one can do that are very helpful. Amongst them are meditation, taking hikes, exercising, and eating healthier. Along with the above, I often tell people that as they make out a daily schedule, be sure to schedule recreation. Note, within the word recreation is re-creation. As a pastor, I see self-care as loving oneself. The tendency is to forget that Jesus and other founders of the great religions of the world taught that, yes, love your neighbor, but don't forget about loving and being good to yourself. Spotlight. In this issue of our newsletter, we wish to highlight Sandy Owens, president of the North Carolina Council of the Blind. North Carolina Central University's graduating student aims to help others and herself to adapt, by Mark Lawton, posted April 19, 2024. One day, in her 11th grade history class, Sandy Owens suddenly found she could not see out of her right eye. "I went to read a textbook and I could not see," said Owens. "My teacher was like, 'Sandy, stop lying.'" But Owens wasn't lying. A classmate had to walk her to the main office, where she waited at least 40 minutes for her parents to make the drive from Philadelphia to Newcastle, Delaware. They took her to an optometrist, who then referred her to an eye institute in Philadelphia. The diagnosis was retinal detachment, although to this day, no one understands why it happened. Over the next 18 months, Owens underwent 7 operations on her right eye. The first surgery left her with blurry vision in her right eye. With the second surgery, she lost all sight in that eye. Her family hired a driver to transport Owens to school her senior year. After graduation, she enrolled at the University of Delaware, where she majored in cellular and molecular biology. "It was overwhelming, especially being newly low vision," Owens said. She stuck it out for 1 year, then moved to Fayetteville, North Carolina, to live with her sister. She transferred to Methodist University and changed her major to mathematics. She adapted by sitting at the front of the classroom, recording lectures, and occasionally using note takers. Over time, she improved her own note taking skills. "I was an awesome note taker, to the point that my classmates wanted to borrow my notes," Owens said. She graduated and found work as a middle school teacher of math. To teach, she had a large separate monitor attached to her computer and would expand or bold mathematical formulas on her whiteboard. After 8 years, Owens decided that she was ready for a change and moved to Kuwait to work as a contract teacher. "I've always been a go-getter," she said. She taught in Kuwait for 2 years, then noticed the vision in her left eye was changing. She returned to the United States and her position in Hoke County, North Carolina, as a teacher, where she worked until December of 2019 as her eyesight had deteriorated. A few months later, the COVID-19 pandemic began. "I had a year or so to think," Owen said. "I had some depressing moments. What am I going to do with my life? I'm too young to stop here." Through friends, she found out about a master's degree program at NC Central University in teaching students who are blind or visually impaired. She enrolled, then found out that NCCU also offers a master's degree in assistive technology. Until Owen started at NCCU, she generally did not talk about being blind in her right eye. "I think it was just being somewhat embarrassed or scared," Owen said. "I didn't want to be judged based on a disability. I never really considered myself disabled. I do just as much as a sighted person, if not more." She has traveled to Greece, Venice, Dubai, Cancun, Rome, and other countries. She is completing an internship as an assistive technology training instructor at a career and training center in Raleigh. Owens has raised and homeschooled a daughter, now 12 years old. Off campus, Owens is president of the North Carolina Council of the Blind, which has successfully advocated for accessible crosswalks in Raleigh, holds job fairs for visually impaired people, and made it legal for blind and visually impaired people to vote from home. Her studies at NCCU have not only gained her a master's degree in assistive technology, she has also completed all but an internship for her second master's degree in teaching blind and visually impaired people, but has also taught her how to adapt. "I went into the program thinking it would show me how to help other individuals," Owens said. "It also helped me. I have an expanded repertory of adaptive techniques." Those include using a cane to go up or down stairs and improving her skills using screen readers, magnification, and software to either enlarge or speak text. She also has become more open about her own visual impairment. "I gained knowledge about it," Owen said. "There's a whole community around this. I want to educate people about what this is and what it means." She has already started with her own business, Making It Visible LLC. Very few students explore entrepreneurial opportunities before graduation, said Sean Tikun, PhD, an assistant professor in the Department of Curriculum and Instruction and one of Owens's instructors. Fundraising activities. GMS Frederick Douglass McAhern Community Garden Fundraiser by William Tubiella. Hi, I'm selling these pins with magnetic backing to raise funds for the GMS Frederick Douglass McAhern Community Garden. They are $10 each. You can pay through PayPal or Venmo. Message me with your mailing address, and I'll ship your order to you. And PayPal has a long website address, and I will do it justice, I hope. https://paypal.me/gmfpccquestionmarkloccale.xequal en_us. And the Venmo address is at William-TUBILLEJA. And then there's an image description of this metal pin. Circular 1.5-inch metal pin with a GMS bell graphic. Print GMS. Print in Braille GMS. In school colors, gold and blue. Another fundraising event. Raleigh Wake Council of the Blind fundraiser. Raleigh Wake Council of the Blind is having a fundraiser. Do you like chocolate? Do you like nuts? Do you like helping out nonprofits? Well, here's a way you can do it all. The Raleigh Wake Council of the Blind, a nonprofit organization, is having a fundraiser. When you buy delicious treats from rwcb.terrillyn.com, you will also make a generous donation to the Raleigh Wake Council of the Blind. So please check out rwcb.terrillyn.com often. We thank you for your help. If you want to call, you must call Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The number is 1-800-323-0775. You must tell them you are calling with the Raleigh Wake Council of the Blind. From Lawrence Carter, President of the Raleigh Wake Council of the Blind, nccbinfo.org, or phone 919-856-0034. Spread the word. Join GMSAA. Becoming a member of the Alumni Association is easy. Go to www.gmsaai.org and click on Join GMSAAI to fill out the registration form. Print out the form and mail it to us with your $20 annual dues. It's that simple. What's the purpose of GMSAA? To promote goodwill among the blind and deaf communities. 2, to work with the Governor Morehead School for the betterment of the student body. 3, to provide merit and charitable awards and scholarships to blind and deaf students who are pursuing vocational training or post-secondary education. And 4, to promote and encourage the education of blind and deaf children and adults throughout North Carolina. Who can join GMSAA? Any person who has attended the Governor Morehead School, any campus of the North Carolina State School for the Blind and Deaf, any school that may be established by the state of North Carolina for the express purpose of educating blind or deaf children, or any person who's interested in helping the association. Coming soon to a newsstand near you. The next issue of the Alumni Connection will be distributed at the end of September of 2024. The deadline for submission of articles, committee reports, and announcements will be August 21st of 2024. Let your voice be heard. Who's on the board of directors? President Ricky Scott, Vice President Donna Permar, Treasurer Tim Snyder, Secretary Tamika Polk Davis, Assistant Secretary Vanessa Lowry, and then there's Leola Dorsey, Margaret Carter, Annette Glenn, Janie Garland, Carla Smith, and Tamika O'Kelly, and Jonna Simmons. The Board of Directors meets quarterly. For updated information on meeting agenda items, meeting agenda dates or times, or other information, please contact Dr. Ricky Scott, the president, at 919-673-8300 or rickyscott09@gmail.com. And lastly in this newsletter, contribute to the Alumni Connection. The Governor Moorhead School Alumni Association reserves the right to edit for grammar, content, and formatting any material submitted for publication in this newsletter. All submissions must include the name of the author, and submissions can be emailed to rickyscott09@gmail.com. We've come to the end of today's episode of the Alumni Connection from the Governor Moorhead School. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Julie Eldridge, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for the print and visually impaired audience. This Alumni Connection Summer Edition of 2024 is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any questions or comments, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. And we thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.